Part two of the five-part prosperity series. We get what we expect. This is really not a big metaphysical revelation. We know it as cultural truth. We have language for it. Well, just what I expected. Well, I saw that coming. That figures, told you so. Just my luck. Well, what did you expect? That was a self-fulfilling prophecy. We already know this. It means you speak the word and it comes true. You expect it and it shows up. It's a cultural truth. It's also a spiritual truth. It's the way the universe works. And once we learn to work within it, life can be better. We started this series last week talking about substance, using Eric Butterworth's book, Spiritual Economics. He was one of Unity's great writers, recent writers. And if you're following along this week, it's chapter 2, 3, and 4. Substance is a fairly abstract idea, but it's the idea to hang on to for this series. It's the reason we say everything you need is already here. Prosperity consciousness means centering yourself in divine substance. So it works like this. God has already created everything you could ever need. Every possibility exists in the divine realm or the quantum field. This God stuff is called divine substance. That term is from Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder. Until we need it, this substance stays invisible. It is unformed. But when we need something, whether it's a house or love or better health, we claim what we need from that storehouse of abundance, substance. And it shows up. It comes into form through our thoughts. Another way to say it is that the universe matches your vibration, or whatever you hold in consciousness shows up. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. You can also call it attracting what you need, or affirming that your needs are met, or ask and it's given. It's all the same thing. And no matter how you like to conceive of it, it's this availability of God stuff, of substance, that lets us know all things are possible with God. That when we pray believing, it's already ours, just as Jesus said. One of the ways we draw from substance is according to what we expect, what we're thinking and feeling, good or bad, and whether we know it or not. Butterworth says we're always plussing or minusing ourselves with our positive or negative thinking. We live in this universe of abundance limited only by our beliefs. And a belief is just a thought that you've thought a lot of times. It's worn grooves into your brain. Butterworth says, I really liked this analogy. He says, clinging to the idea that we live in lack, that there's not enough and times are hard, is like clinging to the belief in a flat earth. Yes, that might be what you see in the immediate vicinity, but you know the earth is round. So we can know that we live in a universe of abundance. And knowing that, what can we expect? How do we train our thoughts and feelings so that we can claim what we want from that storehouse of substance? Some of today's talk will be done by you. I've been making little videos of church members talking about their prosperity practices. So later on today, you'll hear about imagination, making a vision list, about different forms of abundance, and making room for more. I've been hearing these positive stories about how you use prosperity principles. So let me be the one to talk about the negative stuff and get that out of the way. How hard do you suppose it was for people in Magellan's era, 500 years ago, to shift their thinking to a round earth, especially when that's not what they could see? That's our challenge with abundance, to shift our thinking, to incorporate a larger truth. And to do that, we have to reevaluate everything we've been taught. What most of us were taught is lack, limits, and fear. We were taught to be afraid from the time we were the tiniest children. We were reminded the world is not safe. You'll catch your death of cold. You'll put somebody's eye out. And even when we're happy, we say, well, that's just too good to be true. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You remember Job? When his life fell apart, he said, what I feared has come upon me. We were taught with the best of intentions, so we wouldn't be disappointed. So we wouldn't expect too much. So we wouldn't think we're entitled or the world owes us anything. We were taught to fear in order to keep us safe. So now we are acutely aware that painful, difficult things can happen any moment. And if we forget, the news will remind us. Every night there's a story about something awful that happened, and usually a story about something that is now considered unsafe. So here's the thing. How do we stay safe without obsessing about all that could go wrong? Where is the line between taking reasonable precautions and living in fear? If you buy home insurance, are you expecting a fire? Car insurance, health insurance, do you expect to get sick? Is it fear-based to lock the doors at night? When are we acting from fear, and when is it just good judgment? I apologize in advance for this answer. It's different for everyone. You know what makes you afraid. And the solution is also up to the individual. Do whatever gives you peace of mind. The point is not the specific action we take. It's living in a consciousness of peace. Consciousness determines what we bring into form in our lives. I lock the doors at night and then don't think about it again. If they weren't locked, I would worry. So locking them eases my fear and brings me peace. I would worry more without car and health insurance than I give it energy during the 15 minutes a year it takes me to re-up. Maybe if I were a more spiritual person who believed more strongly that well-being permeates the world, I might live without health insurance or seeing doctors. I'm not there yet. And I would be very careful about giving up the usual precautions until I'm absolutely sure my consciousness is strong enough to cover me, that I really do expect only the good. This comes up a lot with illness and medical treatment. I hear about more and more people who avoid or postpone traditional Western treatment until they have at least tried alternatives and consciousness. If it works, great, they're considered spiritual giants. If not, everyone says, well, they should have seen a doctor. Steve Jobs is a recent example. In my personal opinion, you gather all the information you can and avail yourself of available options. It's a highly personal choice, and you can't judge someone else's choices by looking from the outside. But don't judge yourself if you decide to use drugs or surgery or chemo to treat a problem. I'm afraid there's a stigma forming around that. Unity was founded on the power of prayer to heal, but we have nothing against doctors. Emily Cady, one of Unity's earliest writers, said, go to God first, and then go to man as God directs. She was a doctor and a metaphysician, and she was saying, do whatever you're guided to do. My caution to you is to remember that fear is a magnet. It pulls from invisible substance exactly what we don't want. And not random thoughts, but consistent, prolonged fear, especially if we're not conscious of it. This idea that we are responsible for what happens to us is one of Unity's most difficult teachings. But it is spiritual law. It's as old as Job in the Old Testament. And this was about the time some of Jesus' disciples backed off and went home, the Bible says, when it became clear that this is a serious, demanding, spiritual path that requires our full participation. Most of our creating occurs on an unconscious level for now. I'm not saying somebody got cancer because they sat around thinking about it. Our society has a general fear of cancer and a strong expectation that a lot of people will get it. Same for heart disease and all the others. Same for death and divorce and accidents. You may not sit around thinking about them. I'm not saying you ever wanted them. But I do think a lot of us live with a general sense of vulnerability, with expectations, conscious or not, that bad things can, will, and do happen. So what fears might you be harboring? And, this is key, how can you release fear and turn it into something more positive? I'm not advocating that you deny the facts. You really might be broke or sick today, but we center ourselves in a consciousness of divine plenty. Emerson said we contemplate the facts from the highest point of view, a God's eye view, from the center of an abundant universe. This is a whole field of study. In Unity, we have classes on prosperity teachings. I expect I'll do another one this fall. We write vision statements, we make lists, we make treasure maps, we use affirmations. We have lots of little tools, all with the goal of shifting consciousness out of fear and into a sense of abundance. Prosperity teachings, you know, I worry sometimes that these talks are too basic for you all, but prosperity teachings especially have been a doorway into a new spiritual path for a lot of people, one in which they recognize their own divine power. And from there, you can go deeper and deeper. There's some backlash going on right now about this law of co-creating with the universe in two basic ways. One is, well, I thought positive and bad things happened to me anyway. I usually hear that from people that I perceive to be negative, angry people. I think we're not always as positive as we think we are. Especially when you factor in the subconscious fears. But who's to say that bad things are bad? I mean, we've talked often about how gifts arrive in unlikely packages that we wanted to reject or send back. The other rap on the law of attraction is, it's materialistic. People are just trying to get more stuff. Which I think is ironic coming from Americans who consume more as a group than anyone else on the planet. Remember last week's video? We're getting all huffy about using spiritual law for material gain. Butterworth is huffy about it too. I think we'd probably all enjoy some material gain. But there are a lot of other things we want, including deeper, richer spiritual lives, a closer walk with God. And the basic principles cover all of that. Another classic prosperity book is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It was written in the 1930s. He writes about getting what we expect through imagination. And he says there are two kinds of imagination to draw from divine substance. The first is synthetic. He says we take what we know and we move it around to come up with a new picture. That's a treasure map or a vision statement. It's a great start, but it's limited by what we already know. The other kind is creative imagination. It's open at the top for new input. We leave room for divine inspiration and the unknown. That's why it's important to work in consciousness instead of just getting more stuff. We are creating conditions for abundance, just as we prepare a garden for seeds. When the conditions are right, the growth, the abundance, the expansion is natural. So this would be a good time for our video, because these four people talk about the tools they've used and how creating abundance works for them. Sherry?
My favorite philosopher, Albert Einstein, said that the most powerful thing we have is imagination. And I'd say that's how my prosperity creed developed, that I imagine what I want, and there's a kind of sense of, if I imagine it, it is creative. And it's like everything, this building, this chair I'm sitting in, this camera that's photographing me, all were first created in imagination. And I think that's how abundance works. So I try to imagine the greatest abundance that I want, and the feelings that I want, the thoughts that would accompany that, and kind of like creating heaven on earth. In fact, we have a sign at our door that says, Beginner's Heaven. And I think that starts in our very fertile, vivid imagination.
It really does depend on your belief about it, and you can change your belief with some knowledge that I learned in our workshop. I was amazed at the list that I made when I came in of what I wanted, and it seemed extremely far-fetched. And after a year now, and I look back, everything that I had put on the list is happening, which is mind-boggling to me. I need to make a bigger list. There was this lack and wanting and wishing, and now that's really gone away. I have more than I could even possibly manage, and I'm extremely grateful for that.
Well, I feel like I have got the message, the program on the money issue of abundance. That has never been a problem for me. One thing that I did that changed that, in my mind at least, was that I used this phrase over and over. I said, this is just numbers on the page, numbers on the page. I took all the energy out of the money. It's just numbers on a page. And that's really the way I think of it now. So I do think what your thoughts are definitely affect how you feel about things and how you treat things and what things happen after that, because I believe that there was enough and there was prosperity, and that's what I have, and I don't give any energy to any sense of lack. I guess I do have a problem with is time, because there are other kinds of abundance, and I seem to have an abundance of love and luck and money and prosperity, and I cannot get enough time. And I have a saying that I say in my head, that I have all the time I need to do what I want to do, thinking that if I'm doing what I want to do, I've already done what I have to do. And so trying to use the positive affirmation thinking and the denial of lack, that I have all the time I need, I don't know how to make more time. I don't think there is a way. But that's my next challenge, is to figure out how to feel like I have an abundance of time.
What I discovered after being in Unity for a couple of years was that the reason that I did not have as much abundance as what I wanted, you know, because I had become more abundant over time, you know, really growing in my health was my health was getting a little better. I was making more money, so my tithe was larger, and everything was flowing. I was developing more friendships. Life was good. And then I realized that I have to be the person who is able to receive the amount of abundance that I wanted. And I was not yet that person. So my new focus became becoming the person that was able to receive the abundance of the life that I wanted.
I love Sherry's insight about creating room for more abundance, expanding yourself to become that person. That's leaving your imagination open at the top, holding a consciousness of plenty and letting it show up in whatever way it shows up to surprise and delight you. It's the difference in standing under Niagara Falls with a thimble or a washtub. How much can you receive? And I've been thinking a lot about Leslie's desire to make more time. There's got to be a way. Time expands and contracts like money. Maybe it's all in our perspective, like a flat or round earth. And maybe the same principles apply, being open to receive. If anyone works that out, let us know. Because we know there is enough of everything. We live in abundance. To receive more, we clear out the fear and hold thoughts of peace and plenty. Now, positive speaking and thinking does not change God or convince God to give us what we want. It sets up a vibration in us that the universe can match. Imaginative, positive thinking opens us to receive more. It creates conditions. Imaginative, positive thinking shapes divine substance as it comes into our lives. Imaginative, positive thinking helps us expect what we really want, and we'll get what we expect. Divine substance surrounds us. Whatever we want or need is already here, and our belief pulls it from invisible from the invisible into physical form based on what we expect. So the universe has already done its part in creation. It is providing unlimited raw materials, and the rest is up to us. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. We simply relax and turn within. You might take a deep breath to remember that breath is the animating life of God in us. We were created from that invisible substance, just like everything else. And we use it too to create our lives and our world. How could we be anything but co-creators with God, given that we are one with God, made of God, made in the image and likeness of the ultimate creator? And so we contemplate this system that everything we could possibly need is already here, but not yet formed. And through our thoughts and feelings, we bring it into our experience. This is how prayer is answered. It's already been answered, yes. You can have whatever you want and are open to receive. So in this quiet time, let's contemplate what it would take for you to become the person who can receive more. And what would you have to let go of? And what would you have to believe? We are so grateful for the awareness that we live and move and have our being in this ocean of abundance, which is nothing but divine love. That's the substance we use and are given. And so it is. Amen.